week's Torah portion, you know, if you didn't hear, and I know we only, if you're listening to just the audio portion, we don't record the drash, but we do on the video. And Jen had asked a bunch of good questions. Can God be this or that? Can Yeshua be this or that? Such as man and God. And that kind of lines up and is a bit of a confirmation about this week's message. Because in this week's portion, we have the Exodus story that's actually leaving. They're out of Egypt. They're at the Red Sea. Pharaoh and the army are approaching. And we read this in Exodus 14:19. Let me grab my clicker. Exodus 14:19, starting there. Then the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. Also, the pillar of cloud moved from in front and stood behind them. And so came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. There was the cloud and the darkness over here, yet it gave light by night over there. Neither one came near the other all night long. And we see the Lord stood between the army of Pharaoh and the Israelites who fled slavery. To the Israelites, he appeared to be a protector who gave them light. But to the Egyptians, he was a storm that would not allow them to go forward to accomplish what they wanted to, which was to destroy and bring back the Israelites as slaves. For each of the peoples, it seemed that they only saw the one side of Adonai. To the Israelites, they saw the light and protection from the army. The loving God, who only wanted what was best for them. Or at least they thought so, because, you know, they vacillated a little bit going later on, didn't they? But at that moment, that's what they saw. And to the Egyptians, they saw the storm cloud. It didn't allow them to do what they wanted them to do, what they wanted to do, capture and enslave. Both sides actually only saw Adonai in one way at that point. Within the pillar of fire and the cloud, we actually see a duality of Adonai. The two sides of a loving God that appeared different to those who viewed him differently. To those who accepted him as loving and merciful and the Messiah, he appeared as loving and merciful. But to those who either see him as punishing and harsh, or even don't even see him or acknowledge him or, you know, refuse to, he's seen in a very different way. So often the world wants to try to pry apart Adonai into multiple gods. He's this or he's that. It's a way for them to better understand the one God that we know, because they can't understand how a God, one single God, can be so much at one time. But for believers, we know that in Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, it tells us that we say each week, it tells us there is but one God. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The Shema tells us that there is but one God. And therefore, whatever else we see in the scripture, it must align. It must agree with this statement about God. Just like any other piece of scripture, it all must agree. It cannot contradict itself at all. If we see a part of Scripture that doesn't seem to fit with the rest of it, if it seems to be contradictory to some other piece of Scripture, then it is a mandatory thing that we have to do is go and dig deeper to see what it is that we don't understand, and then change what we think is correct. The Word cannot live in two houses at the same time. It cannot have two meanings running throughout Scripture. It is all one Word. And our job is to understand the Word without having it conflict itself. The idea of seeing different sides of God, or one of many of the other facets of Adonai, does not make for a new God, but for a new side of the one who was, is, and always will be. I'd say that knowing that there is only one God is also accepting that there are at least two sides to Adonai. Now, that doesn't mean that there are two natures of Adonai, but that the nature of Adonai is one. The nature is loving and kindness and mercy, which allows you to have free will. Also gives room to us for us to know that he will deal with different people differently in different ways, but always keeping in mind that his desire is for all to be saved for all eternity. We read in the Scriptures the two sides of the one God in many places. Let's first look at, well, we know that we saw it right there in the Torah portion, but let's look at how Shaul writes about him in Romans 11. Shaul writes there that there were branches that were broken off so that others could be grafted in. The Jewish people, being the branches broken off, had to go through trouble so that the Gentiles would see the light of the world. This is how he wrote about it, about Adonai, in Romans 11:22. Notice then the kindness and severity of God, right? Two sides, kindness and severity. Notice the kindness and severity of God. Severity towards those who fell, but God's kindness towards you, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Rav Shaul wrote to a Gentile congregation that they were able to be grafted in, even as they were branches, even though there were branches that were broken off. Of course, he's not saying that there's only so much room, he can only graft in so many branches. No, that's not what he's saying. But that those that sin will be removed. His point is that those who are grafted in does not mean that they could not also be broken off if they don't stand in faith. He calls each of us to consider the two sides of God. It's the loving nature of Adonai that grafts people in to the vine of life. But it's the severity of his wrath that causes others who are unfaithful to be broken off, even after they were shown love that grafted them in the first place. The removal of the branches does not indicate the removal of love of Adonai, but it's a chance for those who were removed to correct their ways to what they thought, that so that they can be regrafted back in. The author of Hebrews explains who Adonai is this way. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Through this, we may offer worship in a manner pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Since he's loving and giving us life, let us look at him with reverence and awe. The fact that he did give us life means that he is a loving and merciful God. But the fact that we also have to have reverence and awe towards him means that there is a side that we should fear. Now, there are many who believe that the fear of the Lord is actually a feeling of being afraid. Afraid of Him because He does have these two sides. They're afraid that if they take the wrong step, they will see that other side of Him. That they will all too easily be broken off the vine. It's true that we are to offer our gratitude and worship to Him. But I do not think being afraid of Him is His desire for us. But to have that reverence, to have that awe is absolutely right. Knowing that the other side of Adonai is there for those who sin intentionally should keep us walking, not just rightly, but with reverence and awe. Reverence of who He is and what He has done for us and what He can do for us. I know that there are people afraid of the water. They would never step foot in the ocean. There are things that swim in there. They can drown in the ocean. They can be eaten. That's what they're afraid of. But there are many who have that reverence and awe of the ocean. They know its power, but they're not afraid of it. They know how to walk in the water. That's how we have to be with Adonai. We know how to walk in the way. We walk with reverence and awe, but not with fear of being afraid. We should not have a fear of making a mistake. We are careful not to make a mistake, but we don't have to fear that if we make that mistake, take that misstep off the path, that we're never going to be able to get back on. The good news is that we have the Ruach HaKodesh as our counselor, the Holy Spirit as our counselor to help us in our steps with Adonai, and the blood of Yeshua if we do misstep. This means that we should not want to misstep or sin, but that we have a confidence in Him that He is a loving God to those who know and worship who He is. As a fleshly people, we do get ourselves in trouble at times. Nobody's perfect, but Adonai has a desire to rescue us from those times of unintentional sin. We read in 2 Peter how he understood Lot and his actions and Adonai's actions towards him. So 2 Peter 2:7, he rescued Lot, a righteous man deeply troubled by the shameless immorality of the wicked. For that righteous man, while living among them, was tormented in his righteous soul, day after day by lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Therefore, the Lord certainly knows how to rescue the godly from trials and how to keep the righteous being punished until the day of judgment, especially those who follow the flesh in its unclean desires and who despise the Lord's authority. When Peter wrote about Lot, who, when we read about it in Genesis, appears to walk into Sodom with his eyes wide open to the sin that was going on there, and he didn't remove himself when he saw it. He says that Adonai knew and acted on saving him from not just the trials of living among the people who were sinning greatly, but was able to rescue him from the punishment that befell the city and the area. We see one Elohim who punished the city, while at the same time, the same Elohim saved Lot. We're not able to, nor should we try to separate Adonai into two gods, but we should readily acknowledge that Adonai is one God who's able to fulfill many roles. Adonai is not many gods rolled into one body, but a complete God who knows how to love and judge. The same God who loved Lot and destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah acted in the same way as the God who loved Adam and Eve, but had to remove them from the garden due to their sin. Adonai did not destroy them, but instead, through them, put men out of the garden, all men out of the garden. And we're going to be out of that garden until that time that he brought about a way for us to come back. It's happening. It's the blood of Messiah Yeshua that allows us back into the garden. That's the plan. Now we just have to accept the plan and be patient. The role of the blood, or in other words, the job of the blood, is to atone for sin so that we can make our way back to the garden. The severity of Adonai is the inability to have sin in his presence. But the love of Adonai is the provision of his blood. First from animals and daily sacrifices, and now from Messiah Yeshua, who due to his perfection and eternal nature does not need to be sacrificed multiple times. When we read in 1 Peter about the power of love, we see this. 1 Peter 4:7. Now the end of all things is near. So be self-controlled and sober-minded for prayer. Above all, keep your love for one another constant, for love covers a multitude of sins. You notice, love covers a multitude of sins is in quotation marks. That means he didn't think of it first. We actually read it about this relationship between Peter. Well, let me say it this way. When we read Peter, just as Peter, we think of it as relationships between people. But Adonai had more than that in mind. The idea of love covering sin is actually first found in Proverbs. We see Proverbs 10:12 say it this way. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers up all transgressions. When we read this at first, it appears also to be about relationships between two people. But look at it from the point of view of man and God. Man's hatred of him will cause strife in the person's life. This is his sin and the consequences of it. But love covers up all of the transgressions of man, that man can do. We think that this is the love of man that the proverb is speaking. And it's true. When we deal with other people, our love for them, or our love for even for Adonai, helps us to cover up the sins that they do towards us. But how much more is the love of Adonai able to cover up our transgressions? And what is this love? For men, love is a feeling and decision to love. For Adonai, his love is the giving of blood, first of animals and then of Yeshua. It is the blood that he gave us to atone for the transgressions. The blood of Messiah Yeshua is able to cover all transgressions, just as we saw in Proverbs and again in 1 Peter. The God who cannot allow transgressions of man to be before him loved so much that he gave a way to have our sins covered. Or in other words, paid for. For the price of sin is death, eternal death. And the love of Adonai is the blood that was shed by Yeshua so that we would not have to pay the price ourselves. The two sides of Adonai is that he kicked man out of the garden due to sin, but gave us the blood to make atonement for us if we accept it. The world does not understand when we say that they need to be saved. They ask, what do we need to be saved from? They need to be saved from Adonai. The side that everyone loves to talk about is the love of God towards His creation. But the need for saving is due to that other side of Adonai, the one that will not allow sin to stand before Him. Therefore, He saves us through the blood of Messiah from His own wrath, as seen in the garden first. The psalmist in Psalm 85 says it this way. Gives us a view of the two sides of Adonai as he pleads Adonai to restore Israel. Starting in verse 1 of Psalm 85. It's a psalm for the music director of the sons of Korah. Adonai, will you favor your land? Will you restore Jacob from captivity? Will you bear away your people's iniquity? Will you pardon all their sins, Selah? Will you withdraw all your wrath? Will you return from your burning anger? Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and renounce your indignation with us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger from generation to generation? Will you not revive us again so your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Adonai, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God Almighty will say, for He will speak shalom to His people and to His keshodim, but let them not turn back to folly. The Tree of Life version, which I use, reads differently than most of the versions. In most versions, verses 1 through 3 say that Adonai has already forgiven and pardoned their sin. But then in verse 4, it reads exactly the same way, saying, O God, withdraw your wrath and anger, and then asks for revival from Him so that their people can be saved again. So I kind of like the Tree of Life version first, because it seems to flow more, you know, more naturally. Why would you say, well, you've already saved me, but won't you save me? You know, this is why I like the Tree of Life a little better on that verse. Either way, we read the idea that Adonai can be fierce in His anger and loving. This is an example of the wrath of Adonai towards the people who sin, even if it's Israel, and His mercy and love when people turn back towards Him. The psalmist knew that both love and wrath can and are in the same God of Israel. And it is the choice that the people make that will make the decision about which facet of Adonai they'll get to see. He says that they did sin, that they did cause His anger. But the psalmist also know that he will draw them back and will grant His salvation when they turn back to Him completely and totally. This is the same God that Shaul wrote about in Romans 2. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans 2, starting in verse 5. But by your hand, an unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself, and on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment is revealed. He will pay back each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good are seeking glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but only obey unrighteousness, wrath, and fury, there will be trouble and hardship for every human soul that does evil, to the Jew first and to the Greek. But there will be glory, honor, and shalom to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. He will judge based on who we are. And because we are only flesh, that will affect how we see him. If we're wicked, then we will see the God who deals with us in his full wrath and fury. This is not the Adonai that we want to see, but it is part of the Adonai that we want, the loving and merciful God who will protect and love us. We should not be able to see the one side of Adonai without knowing about the other side of Adonai. Now, as a final example of the sides of Adonai, let's look at the prophet Nahum, who wrote this, starting in verses 2 and 3. A jealous avenging God is Adonai. Yes, Adonai is the anger and master of wrath. Adonai is avenger to his adversaries. Yes, a keeper of wrath for his foes. Adonai is slow to anger and great in power, but he will by no means acquit the guilty. Adonai's way is with a whirlwind or with a storm cloud. Clouds are the dust of his feet. This is the one side of Adonai, the side that will not allow adversaries or foes from escaping his wrath. And if this is the only side we knew, then I know we would try to hide from him, run away from him, although it would be in vain. But he is not that God. Or at least not only that God. Just a few verses later, we see the other side of the God that we also know. Verse 7, Adonai is good as a refuge in the day of distress, and he knows those who take refuge in him. God is awesome in power against men, but also loving towards men. This reminds me of Tivia and Fiddler on the Roof. You're right, but you're right also. He's both. Have you noticed that when we get a warning in Scripture, it's verse after verse after verse. But when it comes to describing the goodness of Adonai, it's a verse or a paragraph. A much shorter passage. This is because he wants us to really know the dangers and that he should not have to say much about the benefits. We get the full picture of his presence in Scripture without a lot of words. He is good. He is a refuge. And he knows those who know him. Not just know of him, but actually know him and depend upon him and trust him. If you're in a storm, then perhaps you are not in the place that he actually wants you to be. Perhaps you need to adjust your attitude or your practices, your lifestyle and the way that you're living. He is a strong tower that we should be running to. But for too many, we think we're running towards him, but we're not actually running towards him. We're running towards what we really want. So instead of the side of Adonai of love and mercy that we think we should be seeing, it's the side of God of wrath that we get. The truth is, if you're struggling, perhaps you're running the wrong way. But we must remember that God does love and hate. He loves man who he created. He hates the sin that separates us from him. He never hates the person. He has made a world that we can live in so that we can decide how we will live in eternity. The decisions made here and now affect the life forever. Our decisions have eternal consequences, which can be great and that will reside in the presence of Adonai for eternity, were very bad because we will spend all eternity outside of his presence and protection. When we ask people, who is Adonai? They will understand him and see him based on which side of the pillar they're on. Just like the Israelites and the Egyptians going towards the Red Sea, they'll either see light or they'll see dark clouds. It's our job as believers to help them see him from this other side. That's our job as believers, to help them not see Adonai as the dark, but let's show them what the light is. And we do this not because it's the only, you know, it's because it's the right side. We do it because they need to understand both sides before they make the decision. If they only see the dark side, the clouds that were before the Egyptians, they're only going to make one decision. But if they can at least get a glimpse of the light on the other side, the side that was facing the Israelites, now they have a decision to really make. Do I really want to be in the clouds, or do I want to be in the light? Any person who has that choice, that they can see clearly, dark or light, life or death, they're going to make the right decision. But we have to present the decision to them. We have to present both sides of Adonai if we expect them to make a decision, the right decision. So, Father, we just praise you and thank you that you've given us your scriptures, your words that show us which decision we're supposed to make. We thank you that you've given us wisdom and discernment so that we do make the right decision. And Ruach, help us. Help us when we are with others to help them to see the two sides that you are, to see the light and the dark, to see that they want to be on the side of the Israelites, not the side of the Egyptians. Help them to know the truth as we know the truth. Help them to understand your love for all of your created. Help them to understand your hatred for the sin, not the sinner. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to have the words to speak and give us the opportunities to speak them. We just thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.